May I have the grace and humility to speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our sermon series about how going to church can change your life by looking at the meaning of the Eucharistic prayers and how to receive Jesus during communion, and how that can change our lives for the rest of the week and enable us to recognize his presence in the lives of others out in our community. As we heard in Acts, it made a real difference to that new Christian community. They broke bread together regularly and they shared things together. The Eucharistic prayers reflect, in part, the traditional Jewish prayer used at mealtimes, which first gives thanks for the food and drink, and then moves on to asking God to bless the meal. They also mirror some of the Jewish customs in relation to marriage, betrothal, and proposals. As we can discover by looking more carefully at what Jesus said and did in the Last Supper, when he asked the disciples to do this in remembrance of him. During the Passover supper, when they were about to drink the third cup of wine, Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body." He was explaining that his body, his life that he had lived, and that he was about to give up, was being offered as a means of sustenance for them, so they may live fully. He then took the cup of wine, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Although we may not realize it, Jesus' words would have surprised the disciples, because they were like those spoken by a groom when he proposed his bride. In the Jewish tradition, when a young man wished to marry a young woman, he would take a cup of wine and offer it to her. By doing this, he was saying, "I am offering you my blood, my life, my future, and all that I have to give you. Will you share your life with me?" The girl had the option to refuse or to drink the cup, thereby accepting his marriage proposal and saying in effect, "I accept and receive what you offer me, and I offer myself in return." As we drink from the cup offered by Jesus, we, as members of his bride, the church, are accepting Jesus' offer of a life lived together. We're saying yes to Jesus and making our response to his eternal commitment to us. We are entering into a covenant agreement with him, which we call the covenant of grace. Entering this covenant week by week builds up our life with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And so it is good that we all prepare ourselves well for this special event. Just before the consecration, the priests will carefully prepare the altar by laying a pure linen cloth on the table ready to receive the special vessels that are only used for that purpose, which are going to contain the bread and the wine. We also have been carefully preparing ourselves through the prayers we have just made of confession and repentance. St. Paul said, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, This is said not to make us dwell on our past failures, but so that we can prepare ourselves to receive all that we need from Jesus, to release our potential, our future as his followers, and to share our faith with others. In the Eucharist are the two things that God has done for his people, sharing our life and then transforming it. They are made visible in the liturgy. The first part is the reading and exposition of the word, the second, the breaking of bread. So, as the gifts of bread and wine are placed upon the altar, we can see, as Saint Augustine said, the mystery of ourselves upon the altar. Because we are entering, we are giving ourselves at that point when we take our gifts up, ready to renew that covenant. It is in the breaking of the bread that has been consecrated to be the body of Christ that we see the most powerful sign of his body being broken on the cross. The prayer of consecration is not just a beautiful ritual that we observe. Sometimes we may not even notice because our heads are bowed in prayer. But it is something we are all encouraged to participate in. When the person presiding holds up first the bread and then the chalice, it is for us to see the very actions that Jesus asked us to do in remembrance of him. And when they're elevated together, it is the high point of the drama, and the bell is rung three times to emphasize this. It is within these prayers that the priest calls upon God's grace to touch not only the elements of bread and wine, but our very lives. This is in the part called the invitation for the Holy Spirit to touch not just those elements in a special way, but to consecrate us as vessels for God's Spirit to live in. During that great thanksgiving that I just described, it brings together the thanksgiving of the whole congregation, the body of the church, which is Christ's bride, to God the Father. Through a person's baptism, every believer can share their personal sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving at this point in the liturgy. As the Church Fathers declared, each person has been ordained priest of his own person to make his body a temple and his heart a pure altar. So you can see how it is so important that we are ready before we receive. And to help us receive Holy Communion, the Lord's Prayer is used as a reminder of the words that Jesus left for us to pray together. Then each person can make their way to receive the consecrated bread and wine. And as they receive in their own hands one of the broken fragments of the host, they are reminded of Christ's body broken for them upon the cross. Some priests even break the individual wafer as they place it in the communicant's hands to bring home how Jesus was broken for us. In the moment that a person takes the bread or wafer into themselves, they are offered transformation, a change from one of the broken and sometimes discordant and fragmentary people that they are into the renewed and whole members of a body a single body who can now act as one. The receiving of Christ's body can reshape the direction of our lives, so we no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised for our salvation. But not just for our salvation, but also so that we can be formed for mission. We leave the Eucharist refreshed, renewed, and ready to go out into the community, to take Jesus' love with us wherever we go. We are also enabled to see Jesus in others in a new way because of the time we have spent with him here and the sustenance he has given us for the week ahead. And Jesus promised us that the day would come when the meal that he had instituted would be observed again with all his disciples in the Father's kingdom. This is a wonderful illustration of how this fellowship meal will survive the tumult and the changes of this world to be celebrated again with Jesus at his return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.